Hello, everyone. Thanks for checking out Mixed Messages today. We got a special little surprise for you as we jump into a rewind with summer calendars and summer schedules and speaking at conferences and doing all the things that tend to be crammed into the summer. Jeff and I are ships in the night, and so we don't have a fresh one for you today, but we do have a good one for you today. So check out this episode as we dig into one of these topics where we can kind of parse through things, shuffle through the information, and really shoot after, can we hear God's voice in all these mixed messages? So let's go ahead and jump into this rewind episode. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for
our next episode
of Mixed Messages with that guy.
Am I a part of everyone or not?
Technically,
you say hello, and then you don't even give me a chance to say hi.
Well,
it hurts a little. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, my name is Joe Caruso, and I'll be your host as we dig into today's topic that always surprises Jeff. Well, from news sources to comedians, friends to advertisements, it seems everyone has an idea of how we should think, live, and make decisions. And when everyone disagrees, how do we cut through the noise? How do we sift through all of that information overload and choose what governs our lives? As we pray and process about these things, we want to offer a resource to navigate some of the day's most pressing topics and questions. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Joe.
See how that works? You're Jeff, they're everyone.
Well, you said hello, I said hi, and yeah. You got all offended.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's common courtesy to say hi back when someone says hello.
I think you're right.
We don't live in New York, Joe. We live in the Midwest.
This is like those.
We're nice to each other here.
Not that we've never done this here at Grace, but it's like one of those things where you're at a concert and you're like, "What's up, everyone? I can't hear you." You know, like, "Hello, everyone." Jeff must respond. He doesn't want the second backlash of "I can't hear you." So, hello, Jeff.
Hi, Joe.
Oh, man, it's good to hear your voice, which I'm sure every one of our podcast listeners is saying right now. They don't listen for the content. They don't listen for the banter. They don't listen for the direction. They listen for the silky, smooth pipes.
That's right. The silky, smooth voice of mine that is built for radio and podcasting.
Yeah, our producer is loving
it. It's hard when you have like a body for television but a voice for radio.
What does one do? What does one do? You know what? We never have to ask that question. So, oh man. Well, you know what's almost ironic about that comment, Jeff, is the beginning of our listener's question today.
Oh.
So if you put in the context, I'm constantly struggling with the need to feel valued, loved, and seen.
For affirmation. I'm always pining for attention and need to be the center of everything.
Today's question is submitted by Jeff. No. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Okay.
Okay, let's get serious.
In all reality, our listener says this: I'm constantly struggling with a need to feel valued, loved, and seen. This constantly has led me to long for a relationship. Is it wrong for me to be longing for a relationship? I've been following Jesus for a few years now, but I'm constantly in a cycle of trying to figure out how to feel complete by Him. How can I consistently feel completed and content through Christ? Mm. So, Jeff, I think the focus of our answer today is going to be mostly on that latter portion, because there's a whole other relationships answer we could also go down to. Is it wrong for me to long for a relationship? But how can we consistently feel completed and content through Christ?
You know, I'll be honest with you, whoever submitted this, I really appreciate your vulnerability in asking this question, because I think you're saying the quiet part out loud. I think most Jesus followers struggle to find our identity and our fulfillment and our value in Christ alone. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Jesus knows that, and so that's why I am so grateful for the grace of God. You know, He is gracious to us when we struggle to be fully who He wants us to be. But it's a huge, huge question. So let me take a crack at this a little bit. The first part of your question, like, is it wrong for me to long for a relationship? The answer, of course, is no.
Right.
Because Christ created us to be in a relationship with him and then with each other. And if you're looking at the nature of God, God in his very nature is a relational being, so to say. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in perfect relationship with each other. So when the Bible says that we're created in the image of God, part of what that means is that we're created to have relationships where we cannot function, we cannot be fulfilled, we cannot express or feel love, we cannot think, we actually can't survive without relationships. And we're at a little bit of a unique point in history where, you know, 4 or 5 years ago we went through COVID, and all of that was proven out, you know, strongly globally. And I don't know that's ever happened before. But like, everybody go and be isolated. Mm-hmm. The addiction rates, the marriage, the divorce rates, the suicides, the mental health, things that kids still deal with today, mm-hmm. is all because we took relationships out of the normal flow of our life for a period of time. So there's nothing wrong with those longings. Where we get into trouble is when we misunderstand what those longings are for. So the way that God created us, if you think about emotional needs or physical needs or sexual needs or any need that we have, God gave us needs and appetites so that we would search for him. And he did that at the core of our humanity. So that's, if you look at like the scriptures, it's not coincidental that when God says, if you want to be close to me and you want to really know and understand my will, you should fast. And then the two things he tells us to fast from is food and sex, like basic elemental parts of human nature. And he's like, when you fast from food or fast from sex, what happens is you're creating a bandwidth in your life to interact with me by utilizing an appetite or a drive that I put within you that's actually meant to draw you to me instead of to food or sex. Mm-hmm. And fasting reminds you of all of that, and the energy, so to say, goes into being driven closer to God than it does those two pursuits. So all of that is our humanity. It's not, and when I say humanity, I mean our creation in the image of God. I don't mean concepts of evolutionary biology, but being created in the image of God, which means that those things are not sinful. Mm-hmm. Those things are not wrong. Like when you wanna have a relationship with somebody, a deep friendship or a love relationship, like a marriage kind of thing, those things are not shallow. They're not. Examples of weakness in your life, but they can be utilized to draw you closer to God. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really, really core component of that. And I think until we understand that about our humanity, it's hard to understand what the scripture is telling us about drawing close to the Lord.
Yeah, that makes sense. There seems to be, like, when you keep drilling down to the desires of our heart, there's always these baseline things. You know, like you said, the baseline of, I want to feel connected to people. I want to feel valued. It's actually the way our listener opens this up. I want to feel valued. I want to feel loved. I want to feel seen. That's a great summary of some of those baseline longings. And then how do those play out? How does God meet those needs? How does he show up? And so what are some of the ways, if we find ourselves in this place, like, okay, we're in a mental, even a spiritual place where I realize God is going to be the fulfiller of those. What are some of the things that we like start to do to discover more of that in our life?
It's a very interesting question, and I want to be careful not to give us to-do lists, because motives behind these to-dos are kind of everything. But the way that our listener asked this question, the last sentence was, how can I consistently feel complete and content through Christ? Mm-hmm. The way that you consistently feel content and complete through Christ is you bring into your life what is consumed from your life. So the easiest illustration of this is food. So if you're asking, like, how do I consistently feel full? Well, I have to bring in enough food and calories to compensate what I'm burning. And when it comes to our relationship with Christ, all relationships have a flow to them. They have an inflow and an outflow. And so if I think about being a friend, if you and I go, you know, hang out one weekend, and I look and say, that's the last time we're ever going to do that the rest of our lives, it's going to put a governor on that friendship where the potential for friendship is lost even though a memory was made. Mm-hmm. If we do that once a year, it changes it. If we do that once a month, it changes it. If we do that once a week, it changes it. Mm-hmm. You and I happen to work together almost every day.
Too much. I mean, yeah, you're right. No.
but it changes our relationship. Mm-hmm. It also changes what we do.
Yep.
So you and I are very dear friends, but we don't do a lot socially.
Right.
Because we're together all day, almost every day. Like, mm-hmm. time with you is not something that I am craving because that appetite is satisfied, right? So when you think about your relationship with God, interacting with God as a distant memory is going to create one fulfillment, completeness. Interacting with Him once a year, another level. Once a month, another level. Once a week, another level. Daily is another level, or all day, every day is yet another level. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm doing, the closer I want to be with God and the more I want to be fulfilled by God, the closer I have to draw to Him relationally. Mm-hmm. Now, that is not a to-do list because you and I, Joe, could like set a 15-minute appointment once a day, exchange some facts and say, we spend time together every day. Uh-huh. But that's not what we're doing. We're praying for people, dreaming, laughing, you know, goofing off at the beginning of podcasts, like all those kind of things. So it's not just a to-do list. It's what is done and why it is done and how that time is embraced. And I think what happens a lot with people is they'll say, I do certain things and it doesn't work. And I would always look at that and say, okay, well, what are you doing and what's involved with what you're doing? I could say, I eat once a day and I'm still not losing weight. And the first question you would say is, what are you eating? Mm-hmm. And if I'm like, I eat pizza and lasagna and donuts, you'd be like, I think I've identified your problem.
Right.
Right? I exercise once a day. What do you do? I do 3 sit-ups.
Right.
Right? So there's a discipline that I call it effort, devotion, and sacrifice. It takes work to be an apprentice of Jesus. There's a discipline that plays out over time. It takes consistent work to be an apprentice of Jesus. And then there's discipline, time, and then a passion. Mm-hmm. Like it takes real effort with a real heart over time consistently, yep. Right? And if you look at any relationship that you have that's healthy and fulfilling, like our listeners, like I want to have a real relationship. I'm like, okay, that's great. I mean, it's absolutely great. That is going to take real work with discipline over time.
Yep.
So I've been married for 31 years. I started dating Heidi 33 years ago. And we have a very deep relationship that at this point in our life could never be exchanged, right? If I don't have enough life left in me more than likely to live 33 more years with a person, mm-hmm. right? So now it's irreplaceable. Well, how'd you get there? Well, it was discipline, mm-hmm. and consistency over time with a desire to love and be loved by my wife. And and that now is fulfilling to me, and I would feel complete.
Yeah.
Do you look around at other women and think, what it would be like to be married to them? I'm like, only in the sense that I think it might be a pain in the neck, right? But I'm like, no, we're so in sync. We understand how the each of us expresses love on such deep levels. Even the thought of starting that over again, it is like not only sad to me because I would never want to lose Heidi, but I'm like, I don't even know if I want to put the effort into it.
Right.
That's how your relationship with God works. So you start looking at like, am I consistently in his presence? Am I kind of putting the effort into it? And then is there a passion? And that's usually tied directly to how I feel fulfilled and complete by it.
I like how you broke down the like the yearly or the monthly or, you know, all the way down to the throughout the day breakdown, because our other relationships work that way too. I have a really good friend from college that I get to see about once a year. He lives about a four-hour drive from here, and he's got his own family. He's got his own career, of course, so we just don't see each other very often, but we actually make it a point to get together once a year. Well, when I go through my day-to-day, I actually don't think of ever calling him. Now, he actually also happens to be a pastor and one I really, really trust. I still don't think to call him like when I'm having a rough time because he's not in my daily rhythms.
Yeah.
Now, when we get that time together every year, it's fantastic.
And if you invited him into your rhythms, he would say yes.
Right. But we're not into them. Now, you flip that around to like, there's another buddy of mine who we actually have done most of the different things. So like, for instance, you mentioned like yearly. So we've actually done the special memory thing before. His family and our family have vacation together. We see each other most weekends at church. We used to be in a life group together, so we would see each other once or twice a week. We would get our families together every once in a while. And then like we used to actually go on weekly walks just to like process life. Now, whenever anything popped up in my life, he was one of the first, if not the first person I would call.
Yeah.
Because all of these rhythms were set up. But the first time I met him, honestly, I'd have probably put him toward the bottom of my list in terms of who I would call him. Like, yeah. Who is this guy? I don't know this guy. He's even a little weird. If he's listening right now, he knows who he is. Like,
I do too. You are weird.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm joking.
But like, when you establish those rhythms, that's when that relational contentment comes in. Because for me, I actually had a painful reality of this actually with my mother had a pretty hard season of life toward the end of her life, and she knew it, and she would create these relational deficits, and then she would try to, like, in a sweeping gesture, try to, like, fix it. And so, like, she wasn't around, she was all these different things, and then every once in a while, I was like, I'm gonna make this big old feast for the whole family. And you could almost see it in her eyes, like, this fixes it all, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, and it might even be a nice time together as a family. But it didn't fix everything. And I think when we look to God, some of us, maybe not our listener, with the way that they're asking the question, probably not the listener, but some of us are like, well, I have these meaningful things once a year with God. Why isn't my life changed?
Yeah.
And so we have these layers to walk through.
You can interact with people every day and have no affection for them. I interact with the state of Ohio every day, every single day. Every time I get on the road, I'm interacting with the state of Ohio. I have to obey their traffic laws or they will stop me and interact with me more closely, right? So do I have a relationship? Yeah, I kind of have to. It doesn't mean anything to me.
Sure, yeah, right.
Right, it doesn't mean anything to me. I can interact with a waitress. I can interact, and there's no depth there. So it is consistency, But it's the passion behind it. Mm-hmm. I want to know you. I want to interact with you. And what I would say is when you first start following Jesus, all of that feels a little bit mechanical and a little bit awkward. You know, using the example of your friend, the first few conversations, you're like, I feel like I got to work at this a little bit.
Yeah.
And the first time you go on vacation, you know, there's friends and then there's vacation friends.
That's exactly right.
So you realize like we're kind of rolling the dice here a little bit. Mm-hmm. It takes a minute. It takes risks. Same thing's true with the Lord. And then it becomes instinctual and natural, and mm-hmm. nobody's really thinking about that anymore.
Right.
And it changes things. But that's how you achieve relational fulfillment. If you turn that into, I read my devotional book for 3 minutes, I go to church once a day and I say a prayer, that's going to be the depth of your relationship with God.
Right.
If you turn that into, I'm wrestling with God, I'm praying with God, I have a consistent diet, so to say, of God's word, I'm around God's people, everything that you are looking for starts to be filled in. And usually what we'll say is, I love my church, I love my small group, I learn a lot from the Bible. All that is that stuff is flowing in. Now, here's the deal. You're real close with your friend. If you stopped interacting with him altogether, the momentum of that relationship coast out. And so this is what I'm saying. Relationships, you burn relational calories. It's an inflow and an outflow. And to feel fulfilled, for me to be full, I actually have to bring more in than I expend out in energy, right? And so that inflow, that's what I wish we didn't call them the spiritual disciplines. I think it's sounds to me like being on a diet, but it's the spiritual relational habits. It's the same thing that I would have with Heidi or my children. Like, we have rhythms now because we build up relational equity. We have rhythms now that where we can sense when that relational equity is high and that relational equity is low. And sometimes if we're not sensing it, we're just like, I will just say it. Heidi did this to me yesterday. She's like, hey, I just need to talk to you for a minute. I'm like, oh, okay. Because I was going to go do something on the house. She's like, can we just process something together? So it's just those rhythms. And over time, when well motivated and consistently played out, you start to feel that strong connection with the Lord. I wish I had five things to make you feel filled up by God. Anybody who gives you that, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Five steps to make a new friend. It doesn't work that way.
And honestly, that's why I think because our relationships are meant to be a reflection of how we interact with God, that's one of the reasons so many people would struggle in their marriages or their relationships, is because they're looking for the, give me the 5-point checklist on what to say, what to do, how many times do I need to date my spouse? Like,
yeah.
There is no formulaic answer. It's all about the effort and the connection. And if you need more effort, you put more effort in. If our listener is married, and if our listeners, I get the impression based off this person that they're not, but if they're married and you're feeling disconnected from your spouse, there's only one way to feel more connected, and that's start putting effort into the connection. If you're feeling disconnected from God, we have to put some of that connection in.
Yeah, and the relational effort, that this is why we live in an age where there are more answers and they leave us more empty. Because I can bring up a list of anything, but to be with God, I have to take time. I have to be quiet. Think of all the things the scripture says. I have to search him. I have to look at the beauty of his nature. I have to hunger and thirst for his righteousness and his word. I have to be still. I'm not going to find a list. I'm going to find practices that I do consistently over time. And so we're going to have to work against ourselves. And then this is what happens. And this is, I'm not harping on culture. It just kind of is the way it is. There's some good to it. Like when I'm looking to buy something, I want to know the top 5 reviewed things, and that's all I want to know. You know? But when relationships don't work that way. And so this is why in our culture, we'll say, I spent 20 minutes with God. I don't feel anything differently. I'm like, well, right. You do that again and again and again. And it's the rhythm of your life that builds the relationship.
So this is a little bit of a silly analogy, but I remember, Jeff, this season might have driven you nuts, actually, but there's probably 14 years ago when Pastor Tony at our Downey East campus and Pastor Ryan at our Akron East campus, we were all still together here at the Bath campus. I think our offices were over at Embassy, and we did these push-up challenges.
Yep.
Yep. I saw the look on your face. They probably drove you crazy.
Every time. They'd come up with some ridiculous thing.
It was a thing. It was fun and also ridiculous. However, what you just said reminded me of that season. So when I started doing those push-up challenges with them, I could probably only do 10 to 12 ugly push-ups at one time. I had had enough athletic stuff in my background that I could do 10 to 12, but I was not good at push-ups. Even in just a month, I could do sets of probably like 30 at a time. And so does one push-up change my life? Did one set of 10 push-ups change my life? Did any of that really make me stronger? No. But because of those stupid challenges, we were doing them all the time.
Yeah.
We were almost living to do push-ups. It was pathetic. But after a season, suddenly I'm like, oh, these little actions are building something into me.
Yep.
Now I'm slow, and it was still subtle, but I'm slowly seeing a difference. And what you're saying is you're not going to find the one thing, the one discipline, the one silver bullet, the list of five things. It's going to now instantaneously, you're going to feel drawn in and closer to Christ. But it is that consistent, regular effort in building into that relationship that over time you'll look back and go, I can't believe how much closer to Jesus I am.
Yeah. It's a small decisions over time equal mm-hmm. big results. And the same thing works with relationships. It moves it forward, and that's how you feel complete in Christ.
That's awesome. Well, what I'm hoping for our listener today is I hope that this is encouraging and helpful, and I also hope you're not hearing we just gave you a solid answer, because you are going to have to figure out those nuances, and that's also what your church community is for. So if you need to reach back out to us directly, if you have a small group, if you have that spiritual leader in your life, process it with them, talk with your people that are pointing you toward Jesus, and keep finding those ways to have that consistent connection with God. If we can help you in any way, if there's questions you'd like submitted, make sure you submit those at bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. And if you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more of it, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review our podcast. If you're looking for a group of people that are running after Jesus, striving to be more and more connected to God, you can always find us here on the weekend at Grace, or you can even check us out online. Thank you so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. See you next time.